A cannabis consultant. So what does that involve?
Same as any other consultant.
My view is when my own government has declared war on me, I've got two options. I can surrender, or what I have done, which is declare war back. Hence why I wear combat.
It's what mothers, excuse me, today are fighting for at Parliament. And that's what I'm there to support them in. And I'm actually illegally going to supply some THCA to a parent today, this afternoon.
Because from what I've seen of the weed you get here, my view of it is you get the crap weed that Scousers won't smoke.
People contact me asking questions and advice and guidance on matters relating to cannabis. And the inquiries come from individuals about their own health, to doctors, professors, clinicians, politicians from around the world.
I really, really don't like the doctor term. Main reason being is I have no medical qualifications whatsoever. I'm not a clinician. And I would much, much prefer it if the UK law was changed so doctors and pharmacies could do what I'm doing. Then I wouldn't have to be a criminal and these parents wouldn't have to act in a criminal manner either.
The system we have in Jamaica could be adopted here and it would benefit so many people on the island.
Was it all legal, what you had in your pouch and was giving to them?
Everything I had on me last night contained cannabinoids, and not just cannabinoids, there are other compounds that the cannabis plant produces.
Was it legal,
which are
in the Isle of Man? Was it legal?
That would have to be debated in a court of law.
You said it yourself that you help desperate parents with dying children. And you make no secret that you're happy to break the law, almost as a form of martyrdom, for the sake of highlighting cannabis laws or unjust cannabis laws that you perceive them to be.
I have to correct you there, because no, I'm not happy to break the law at all. I'm a law-abiding citizen, but I see this as an unjust law. And what sort of society can deny a seriously ill patient or a parent of a seriously ill child an effect, what's proved to be an effective medicine throughout the world? Why? What? Where's the justification for that? That is an unjust law. 200 years ago, it was legal to own a slave here in the Isle of Man. I'd have been setting them free. And I'd have been breaking the law there as well. But that, again, was an unjust law. An unjust law needs to be fought, and this law's wrong. But people should not be in the situation where they have to put myself and the organisation I founded in the UK, Bud Buddies, who assist people medicinally, breaking the law. We shouldn't be in this situation.
How many times have you been arrested for this cause?
I would say, I don't know, 20 plus.
And counting?
Not really, no. Because to me it's like, you know, counting how many times I've walked in the snow. It's like just something that happens.
So how does this work? People contact you through, is it Facebook or whatever, and basically say, this is my last resort, can you help me?
Yeah, I get contacted through social media and websites and the internet in general, but I even have clinicians and professors of biology and microbiology who are contacted by cancer sufferers regarding their research and they're telling them to contact myself because I might be able to help them in the UK. Now, under UK law and under Manx law, anyone who suggests that someone contacts me, well, that's incitement. So maybe this is why the UK authorities on the mainland and British Isles don't seem to want to take me to court. I was arrested 2 weeks ago outside Parliament, illustrating this very point, that while politicians are talking about Brexit, there are children and there are people who are seriously ill who could benefit from having access to cannabis for medicinal purposes. And why shouldn't they? I don't want to break the law, but I see I have no choice, because when someone contacts me and says, Jeff, I've got a seriously ill child. I've been speaking to a parent in America who's using cannabis oil for their child, who's got the same condition as me, and they're doing great. I want the same thing here. I can't get it from my doctors. How can I get it? And I know if I say I'm not helping you because it's illegal, our parents are not going to give up. And then they're going to end up going on the dark web, and a lot of people, for example, on Facebook who are selling cannabis oils and making all sorts of claims. And that's why we need to get away from prohibition, because prohibition hasn't worked. In fact, prohibition only protects the criminal element, and it also penalises people here on the Isle of Man, citizens, taxpayers, people who vote.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and nice to see you all here on the Isle of Man. And
Jeff held a Q&A evening at Mother T's Cafe in Laxey. A frank discussion on the drug and its prohibition ahead of the government's public consultation. One of the concerns raised at the meeting was the access to untested cannabis products on the internet. It prompted one woman to come forward and reveal her story.
Has anyone got any questions about specific... Yeah, go on, please.
I've actually got cancer and I have been on them pages, and they say, I need the THC. Mm. I've been, messaging people, but they keep sending me CBD oil, and I've actually got hold of this lady in Spain.
Do you know what's in it?
Not a clue, but I was just willing
Does she know what's in it?
Not a clue, she's from Spain, that's about it.
This is, so, if you don't mind me asking, what form of type of cancer
I've
do you have?
I've got stage 3 breast, yeah. Liver, kidney, so it's literally everywhere I'm riddled. They give me 5 years. I've had chemo, and then I'm on antibodies.
Okay.
Now it's back to my heart. I just need to try something else.
Okay.
I got diagnosed in November with breast cancer, but they did a CT scan and then realised it had gone through my lymph nodes, gone into my bones, it's in my skull and my nose bone, it's speckled into the liver, the lungs, and other parts. They said basically they'd give me 5 years survival rate. It's crap, I'm constantly at hospital. I've been in hospital 87 appointments since November. I don't have a life. I'm literally at home. I can't work. And then when I was having chemo, I was just so sick, constantly having diarrhea in and out of hospital, dehydration, couldn't walk at one point. I had a commode in my bedroom. I had my mum bathing me. My mum's had to quit a job to look after me. It's just been a nightmare. And they put me on loads of medication, morphine, gabapentin and stuff. I didn't realise when they put me on them, you'd get side effects, getting withdrawals, and that's coming off them was just horrific.
It must have been
horrible. It was like being a druggie when you're not a druggie, and just withdrawing, sweating, night sweats, fever, agitated. They don't tell you that when they put you on it.
Doesn't feel like a cure at all.
For this young mother, she feels conventional medical treatment simply isn't working for her and is now considering cannabis, an illegal Class B drug on the Isle of Man.
When I first got diagnosed, I heard about it on Facebook and then added myself onto some of them, forums, cannabis oil and that. But everyone was putting in different things, so it just confused me and I didn't know where to go with it. I've got nothing to lose, so I think you hear the stories that it cures people, so I'm just curious. They can give you morphine, which is smack, but they won't give you cannabis, which is a plant, so it doesn't really make sense.
So what makes Bud Buddies and your operation different and reliable and trustworthy? Because people are contacting you as if you're a GP or a clinician, but you're not a doctor.
No. And I don't pretend to be either. I have no clinical training whatsoever. And I find it quite ironic that the people who are medically trained get no training whatsoever regarding our body's endocannabinoid system and how cannabinoids, the health benefits of them. Don't forget, up until 1976, a doctor here on the Isle of Man could prescribe cannabis. It was only in 1976 that Manx doctors lost the right or the ability to issue prescriptions for tinctures of cannabis, which could have been made at their local pharmacy. So this isn't a change in the law or a new law. This is basically just giving doctors the right that they had prior to 1976.
Hello.
Hi there, Mr. Flynn. How are you?
I'm fine.
Brilliant. Okay. A man who sat as the first pharmacist on the Misuse of Drugs Advisory Committee in the 1980s was Charles Flynn. Mr. Flynn has over 50 years' experience in pharmaceuticals, and when it comes to cannabis, he has his reservations. So do you still think there's like a very mixed view on this from the pharmacist and indeed the sort of clinical profession?
I think there is a consensus now that certain conditions can be treated with medical cannabis, provided it's regulated and prescribing is done by specialist doctors who've got appropriate training in that particular field. If the doctor's main field is adult prescribing, we wouldn't expect him to prescribe them for children. That should be another specialist. So, you know, it's very tightly controlled.
So you say you had 50 years as a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
Across that career, mm-hmm. what did you learn about cannabis? And are pharmacists trained in it? Is it part of the curriculum, so to speak?
No, it wasn't ever part of the curriculum. It was a no-no, to be honest. I imagine lots of pharmacists know very little about cannabis. I don't really consider myself to be any sort of expert on it, but we are guided by the medical profession and specific specialist drug advisory committees. We were interested mostly in our learning in legal prescribing, legal drugs.
Okay.
Cannabis wasn't that.
Right. So how does it make you feel then that there are people in Britain supplying cannabis under a guise of medicine?
Well, I don't think that's good. There's a severe risk for the public, obviously. And I don't think any pharmacist, any doctor would want to condone indiscriminate supply of cannabis products. Even the medical profession are taking well over a year to provide good guidance to their own professionals on prescribing cannabis, and certain people going around and supplying it illegally is not really right. It's causing a severe risk to the public, I would say.
Is there enough evidence then to suggest that it should be legally recognised as a medicine?
Yes, there's sufficient evidence for certain conditions which can't be treated in any other way, that its prescription is an appropriate way to deal with it. Yes, there is sufficient evidence on that.
But obviously, what concerns you is that people perhaps that don't come from a clinical background are supplying this to the public, and it comes with a risk. What are those risks? What is the adverse effects?
Well, addiction is one of them. There's psychological effects with people, which was one of the things we were talking about when we were talking about cannabis in the 80s. There's all sorts of smoking cannabis, of course, is clearly harmful as well, and that's certainly outside the medicinal use. Certainly it's a substance which should be restricted to the medics and specialist doctors.
What do you make of the Isle of Man's Department of Health and Social Care putting a public consultation out for members of the public to effectively inform what could be renewed medical policy or legislation around cannabis?
Well, it's rather silly, I would say, at the moment, because until there's real evidence, asking an ordinary member of the public what they think is not very wise. I don't think that's correct at all. It's certainly okay for MHKs to ask for opinions, because they're there to represent, but they're also there to lead. And leadership means that they need to be informed themselves and ensure that the safety of the public is guaranteed.
A voice synonymous with the debate on the Isle of Man is a doctor. MHK for Ramsay, Alex Allenson.
I'd like to see it as an enlightened new world, to be honest with you. We have a long past history in the Western world of using cannabis products, of using hemp. But over the last couple of decades, it's become illegal. And there's some really good reasons for that, mainly about poor education for legislators. So what I'm hoping will come out of the public consultation is people will be able to get that education, actually learn the benefits of industrial hemp and also the benefits of medicinal cannabis, and make an enlightened view. And then that can drive us looking at our policies on drugs and actually reforming them, so we actually help people rather than criminalise them. What we need to do is be pragmatic about this and actually say, what are the advantages of looking at our drug laws again, both in terms of not criminalising people, particularly young people, for no good reason, for small amounts for personal use, we're not doing any harm to anyone else, but also those people who are actually getting benefit from medicinal cannabis. And as a doctor, I've met increasing numbers of people from all ages, from all classes, who are using medicinal cannabis because they find it helps far better than conventional medicines, but are living in fear of being arrested and criminalised for that use.
Is this debate well informed, though? Is the education there?
There's a lot of incorrect information out there, and in fact I would go further and call it propaganda. In the UK, for example, you have the Home Office who keep referring to dangerous forms of cannabis like skunk and psychosis, and studies throughout the world have discredited this link. In fact, there's evidence to indicate, and there's studies going on, where cannabis is actually being used to treat anxiety, mental disorders. People here in the Isle of Man have an opportunity to engage in this consultation to tell the politicians that they want access to cannabis for medicinal purposes, and we should even, I think, here widen the debate to cover all aspects of cannabis consumption, including adult consumption. Because if you're going to limit the prescription of cannabis only on prescription and only for medicinal need, well, who is going to decide which conditions or diseases qualify? Because I've known people who consume cannabis as an adult rather than drinking, might have a joint or vaporize some weed or even have a cookie at night to help them sleep. And I don't see them as a big threat to society, even though they're a criminal and they're facing 14 years in prison.
So, if it were to be made available, what form should cannabis take if it was available on the NHS?
I think it should be available on many methods of administration, because people are consuming cannabis, for example, sublingually, which is basically a tincture, administered under the tongue. That's a very effective method of administration because it means that cannabinoids are absorbed through the mucous membranes in the mouth into the bloodstream pretty quickly. Obviously, a lot of people still smoke and think they need to consume or have a joint to get cannabis, but that's not our suggested method of administration. However, inhalation is a good method of administration because, again, it's very quick. People can gauge how much they consume. But we would advise someone vaporizes cannabis rather than smoking cannabis because there aren't the health risks associated with vaporization that there can be with smoking, certainly if people have been mixing cannabis with tobacco. That's something that, you know, is a health issue. And that's something else we advise. We advise on not just how cannabis can help people medicinally. We also advise on different methods of administration, and depending on what someone is trying to treat will very much depend on which method of administration we'll advise.
In your time on the Isle of Man, engaging with politicians and the MHKs, what has the response been to a prospective law change and medicinalising cannabis?
I've had a few meetings with a few MHKs over the last few months here, mainly privately, chat down the pub just to sound them out, and I haven't met anyone who's against it yet. They all seem to be, or they all are very open, and I think what they're doing sensibly is finding out what do their constituents want them to do. And I think this is a great opportunity for the people on the Isle of Man to tell your MHKs what you want.
The medicinal element of the government's consultation suggests adopting the framework from other jurisdictions, such as Netherlands or Australia, to regulate the prescribing of the drug. Here's the Health Minister, David Ashford, explaining these models.
So, for instance, one of the models talked about is the Australian model. Now, the Australian model, to put it in its simplistic terms, is where the cannabis treatment isn't the first step. So it's not the first port of call for a doctor to prescribe. The Australian model is based on what they call their do-no-harm model, where they basically turn around and say that cannabis treatment should only be prescribed after all other treatments have been tried. So it's actually removing the judgment away potentially from the medical professional and saying that all other things should be tried beforehand. The another model that's on the table is the Dutch model, which again, in putting it in simplistic terms, basically leaves the decision to the GPs and to the doctors on the ground to make their judgment call. Their health system, of course, is very different to ours. So they have a health insurance system for people. And one of the things that is within that system is it's up to insurance companies individually whether they'll reimburse the person for cannabis treatment. So some do, some don't. But the medical decision-making in the Dutch model rests with the doctors on the ground, whereas in Australia, it's basically last resort.
Mr. Ditchfield, on the other hand, has other ideas.
We could look at, or you could look at, like we have in Jamaica, forming a cannabis licensing authority. And in Jamaica, our cannabis licensing authority is made up of members from the Department of Enterprise, Department of Health, Police, and all the other interested bodies, if you like. And they control and issue the licenses and make sure people comply with the terms of the licenses regarding security and standards and testing. And that would give people who need cannabis here, it would give them the confidence that what they're buying is safe. And more importantly, they know exactly what's in it, i.e. THC, CBD and the other cannabinoids.
If regulations like that came in, wouldn't that mean an end to Bud Buddies and the work you do?
Great. I want to shut Bud Buddies down. I said it. Everyone are Bud Buddies. They're friends who I've met through breaking the law. Most of them are ill themselves. And we all want to pack in Bud Buddies because our philosophy at Bud Buddies is that we try and empower people to be self-sufficient. So we don't sell any products. We are not interested in having a range of cannabis products ourselves. What we want to do is continue our research and development in finding new methods of administration and different diseases cannabinoids can be used for. And that's why I personally am based in Jamaica, because they're underneath their legal system. Of course, I can work with the universities there, and I'm not breaking the law.
The Isle of Man's position, then, in all of this, what do you make of what could come of the public consultation? What do you think the power is there? Because it's a test of the public opinion, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the people of the Isle of Man are going to get the cannabis system they deserve. And that will result, the result of that will be on what happens over this consultation. So I would urge every person who's listening to this, or every person who's aware of this consultation, tell your friends, engage in this consultation and debate. Even if you're listening to this and thinking you don't want the laws changed on cannabis, engage in that debate. Let us hear your arguments. Because when you look at it logically, and you're talking to someone who's seriously ill, a lot of this propaganda goes out the window because people are interested in facts. And the Madrid University, Professor Manuel Guzman, he's the person who discovered over 12 years ago that THC can actually kill a cancerous cell. And in Spain, they're having clinical trials at the moment into treating sufferers of glioblastomas, brain tumours, with cannabis oil for 2 years after they've had their surgery and conventional treatments. Now, someone with a glioblastoma here in the Isle of Man, they can't do that. But in Spain, they can. Now, in a few years' time, once these clinical trials are done, I'm confident that in treating certainly brain cancers as per this clinical trial, that it's going to become a mainstream treatment, an effective one. But what about people who've got these brain tumours today? They can't wait for another couple of years for the clinical trials to conclude and the results be published. So they need help now. And it's not a case of why do I break the law? It's a case of how can I not? And I liken it to, imagine here on the Isle of Man, swimming was illegal, punishable by 14 years in prison. If you saw a dying child and the mother was a drowning child and the mother at the side of the shore was saying, please save my child, and you could swim, what would you do? Would you say to that mother, sorry, I'm not going in the water because it's 14 years in prison for swimming? You wouldn't. You just go and do it because you're not harming anyone. In fact, you're saving a life. And that's the way I see it. It's not a case of why do it. It's a case of I have no choice.